From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Shmini, Leviticus 9 through 11. Last week's episode was brought to you by a tiny, tiny little letter, Mem, in a little corner of the fire on the altar that was smoldering all night. This week we're going to be talking about a much bigger and much more dramatic fire, or maybe two fires, but we will leave that up in the air for now. Let's start reading at the beginning of Leviticus 9 to set the scene. On the eighth day, that's Shmini is eighth, on the eighth day Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. They are about to be, Aaron and his sons are about to be installed as priests. And the context in the rest of that paragraph is on the handout for you, the various sacrifices that have to be made. We're skipping down to chapter 9, verse 22. What happened then? The sacrifices are on the altar. Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the offering of well-being. Moses and Aaron then went inside the tent of meeting. We're not told what they did in there, but when they came out, they blessed the people. And the presence of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came forth from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat parts on the altar. And all the people saw and shouted and fell on their faces. And we turn now to the 12th century French commentator Rashbam, the grandson of the famous commentator Rashi, who says, "This fire that came forth from before the Lord came from inside the Holy of Holies via the golden altar inside the tabernacle." Remember, the tabernacle is a two-room apartment. The Holy of Holies, and on the other side of the parochet is furniture, then an altar and a table and a lamp. And on that altar, you burn incense. So the fire came from inside the Holy of Holies via the golden altar inside the tabernacle, says Rashbam, in order to turn the incense into smoke, which, according to Yoma 33b, must precede the regular daily offering. You have to turn the incense into smoke before you offer the animal sacrifice. But there, next to the golden altar, the fire encountered the sons of Aaron and burned them. Then it came forth to the outside altar and consumed the burnt offering and the fat parts. So let's read on the first couple of verses of chapter 10 to get that episode. Now Aaron's sons Nadav and Avihu each took his fire pan, put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and they offered before the Lord alien fire, which he had not enjoined upon them. Alien fire, Esh Zara, doesn't mean alien like from outer space. It could just mean fire which he had not enjoined upon them. But in verse 2, fire came forth from the Lord and consumed them. Thus they died at the instance of the Lord. The JPS note says, some say not at the instance of the Lord, but before the Lord, which is what the literal Hebrew says. We will come back to that. But JPS doesn't have a note about fire coming forth from the Lord. This fire, as we will hear, comes forth from before the Lord, just like the fire in chapter 9, verse 24. So here's Rashbam now commenting on Leviticus 10:2. This is the event previously described in 9:24. The burning of the offering and of Aaron's sons took place as part of a single event in which fire came forth from before the Lord. The JPS translation doesn't say it that way, but Rashbam is reading it in Hebrew, and the Hebrew does say it the same way both times. Just when Aaron's sons took this unwanted fire to the inner altar, fire came forth from before the Lord to burn the incense there. It struck Aaron's sons, and they died. Then the fire came forth from the tent to the outer altar, where it consumed the offering. See my comment to Exodus 19:8 for other examples of a single event being narrated in two different verses. So that can be highly recommended to everyone. And another place in Exodus you might want to look, according to Nachmanides, is commenting on that phrase, fire came forth from before the Lord, more literally, from with the face of the Lord. He's commenting on the 9:24 now. More literally, from with the face of the Lord. The enlightened person will comprehend this as I have already explained it. And where does he explain it? In Exodus, in his comment to Exodus 30, verse 1. But one more thing to remember, whether there is one fire here or two, there's actually a third fire that is mentioned, maybe only one, three times. But in verse 23 of chapter 9, the presence of the Lord appeared to all the people, and the presence of the Lord, the kavod, in Hebrew is the word that's used there, an abstract noun meaning glory, but when it's the kavod of the Lord, of Yud-Keh Vav-Keh, that's God's personal name in the Bible, when it's that kavod, we're not talking about an abstract noun. We are talking about a blazing fire that you can look at and be fried if you and or the Lord is not careful. Here's Baruch Levine talking about this theophany, as I guess we could call it. Again, in this comment to 9:24, the good fire, the fire that burnt the offerings that Aaron and his sons made on the altar as part of their inauguration as priests. Levine says, the Sifra interprets this as a fire from heaven. Rashbam more accurately identifies it as the fire of God that was inside the tent. And I'm going to point you one more time to the book of Exodus at the end of chapter 40. The kavod fills the newly built, the newly assembled tabernacle. And this is that fire. The same fire, Levine continues, that would subsequently scald Nadav and Avihu. I think scald is a little bit of a mild term there. Aaron's two sons, when they entered the tent improperly, according to 10:2. In both verses, we have the same formulation. Fire came forth, vatetse esh, from before the Lord. Mi lifnei, YHVH. And as Nachmanides points out, before is actually to the face of. That's the literal meaning of that Hebrew preposition. Levine continues, again, God's fire issued from the kavod, which itself was a fire that was enveloped in a thick cloud and pervaded the tent. It was a blessing to those who pleased God, but destructive to those who angered him. On this occasion, the ignition of the altar fire was cause for rejoicing, And as Milgram points out in his Anchor Bible commentary, the sacrifices on the altar take a long time to burn, normally many hours. See chapter 6, verse 2b, which we did indeed see last week. But the divine fire consumed them in a flash. Whence the fire? Asks Milgram. The silence of the text allows for ample speculation. One, it came of itself, meaning, I guess, that it sprang up on the altar. Number two, it descended from heaven. Number three, it originated in the adytum. The adytum is the Holy of Holies, I think. Number four, from the adytum it passed through the shrine, where it kindled the incense on the inner altar, incinerated Nadav and Avihu, and then exited into the court and consumed the sacrifices on the altar. But on the other occasions, and that's Rashbam's explanation, of course, on the other occasions on which the divine fire consumes the sacrifice, it is explicitly stated or assumed that it descends from heaven. Vatipol, it fell, in 1 Kings 18, or simply from heaven, or it descended, redet. Here, however, the verb employed is yatsa, to come out or emerge. Thus, there can be no doubt that the fire emerged from the adytum in conformance with the priestly theology that the Lord's kavod, encased in cloud, would descend upon the tabernacle and rest between the outspread wings of the cherubim flanking the ark. Anthropologists see the altar fire as a gateway to the other world, through which offerings are transmitted to God, and through which the power of God is directly manifested to man. The correctness of this observation is accentuated by a priestly rule concerning the altar fire. It may never be allowed to die out. This admonition is given twice in two consecutive verses from last week's episode, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. The reason is now apparent. Because the altar fire is of divine origin, it must be perpetuated. Furthermore, a more pragmatic purpose underlies this injunction. Just as the initial appearance of the divine fire signified God's approval, so every sacrifice offered on the same altar will, with God's grace, also merit his acceptance. And with regard to this fire's being preserved because of its heavenly origin, Hiskuni says in his comment to 9:24, the fire that came forth in Moses' day was not extinguished from the copper altar until they got to the time of the temple. And that which came down in Solomon's day was not extinguished until the time of King Manasseh. So many, many centuries in both cases, the same fire continues to burn in the same place. And now let's go back for a moment to a verse I didn't read to you. I skipped over it at the beginning of the podcast, but it is on the handout. Leviticus 9:4, the end of the instructions about the he-goat and the calf and the lamb and the ox and the ram for an offering of well-being to sacrifice before the Lord and a meal offering with oil mixed in. That's the end of today's menu. Now Moses says to Aaron, for today the Lord will appear to you. And what is the appearance of the Lord? It is that kavod, which is the fire. Now, somehow without thinking, I must always have assumed that there was one single spot in the tabernacle or temple where you could connect with God. If anyone else has had this impression, I want to correct it now. The tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem both have two separate fixed places that connect directly to God in some mysterious way. The Holy of Holies, with the cherubim posed or poised over the golden ark cover, but also the sacrificial altar, clearly a focus of attention, and I'm using that focus to allude to last week's word, mokade, which means focus, a focus of attention where the sacrifices are burnt. They're not burnt indoors. This is a barbecue. You don't barbecue in the living room. You do it outside. But the altar is the most significant spot outside the Holy of Holies, and something goes up directly from there to God. Put that together with the incense altar in the outer room of the tabernacle, the golden ark cover that perhaps is where the fire lives and or came out from, and the kavod that everyone saw that day, and you have a very complicated mix of the divine connecting to human beings, which I'll remind you is the purpose of this tabernacle that Aaron is being inaugurated to serve. One more thing to point out, which is that the fire coming down from heaven rather than out from the Holy of Holies, when Solomon's temple was constructed, as Chizkuni tells us, that's only found in 2 Chronicles 7:1. When you read the New JPS translation, they have a nice little footnote at the beginning of every chapter of 1 and 2 Chronicles where it's applicable to tell you here is the parallel passage in Samuel and Kings. The parallel passage to 2 Chronicles 7:1 starts in 1 Kings 8:54, and I have the Hebrew verses at the bottom of this week's handout for you to look at. Whether you can read Hebrew or not, you can easily see that three of the words are the same, but then there's an insertion in the Chronicles verse. Both verses say, when Solomon finished praying, Kichalot Shlomo Lehitpalel, and the King's verse just goes on and says, to the Lord, but the Chronicles verse says, then fire fell down from heaven. That doesn't happen in the book of Kings, and maybe we need to talk about why, but it will have to wait for another year. I will be back with you next week for Parshat Tazria all by itself. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.